Chapter 10, Freeloads.
Let's talk a little about freeloading, the freeload days.
The $60,000 question was the hottest thing on radio.
Oh, the game show.
The game show. There was a big scandal. A very famous literary person was caught. He had answers prior to the questions being asked. It had repercussions throughout the media. From that, there was a lot of questioning going on in Congress and elsewhere about the whole record business, where DJs were getting paid by record promoters to feature their records. That was where the term payola came in. And the uproar that was caused by the $60,000 question, which rubbed off on the whole record industry, had its effect on media. In the case of NBC, and this was true pretty much of all media, we were restricted from taking anything that benefited us, benefited me, that had a quid pro quo whereby we were guaranteeing or promising to put something beneficial to the giver on the air. And that put the kibosh on a lot of things that had been going on prior to that. Before that, airlines could provide tickets, no problem. Restaurants could provide meals, no problems. You could go on trips that either you invented or they invented. You went on one of those trips to Europe as a child.
Oh, yeah.
On Pan Am. And I was always friendly to Robin Kincaid, who was the public relations director locally here for Pan Am. And it was, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Kind of thing. And we went on that grand exodus in Europe when you were just a little tyke.
I think I was five.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Stephanie was seven. Wasn't there also the Freeloaders Association at the press club?
Yeah.
Was that for real or was that a joke?
It was an ad hoc thing. There was nothing formal about it. It was just a bunch of guys who were on the take one way or another. Jack Lauk, who was a press photographer, was the honorary chairman, and I was the honorary vice chairman. We just used to keep each other informed as to who was giving what and where and where you could get a good deal. But freeloading in those days was a perfectly acceptable thing. I go back to my first days as a reporter for the Stockton Record when at Christmas time I got a case of mixed liquor from various people. You can think of it as a gift, but a gift, please remember me, gift. We used to get a lot of small stuff. I ate at restaurants pretty regularly, maybe once a month, at fine restaurants. Venetian room of the Hotel Fairmont, opening night of every act they brought in, and they brought in big acts. I was there opening night for the opening performance when the Palace Hotel, it's now the Sheraton Palace, had their theater in the round in the lobby of the grand lobby of the hotel. They put on some of the best Broadway shows, and it was dine, have some drinks, and watch a complete performance. I saw a lot of shows there, a lot of very, very good shows.
Wow.
One that just sticks in mind, Pajama Game. There was good stuff that was available, and not very much got turned down.
Philippine Airlines, was that a freeload?
That was an inaugural flight.
It was.
That again, was arranged by Ken Macker, who then had Philippine Airlines as a client. This was years later. They flew a bunch of us out of San Francisco to Manila, where we spent 4 or 5 days, as I recall, and we were honored at the presidential palace, and I went through the receiving line with the president of the Philippines, Diosdado Macapagal. And this was kind of a smorgasbord spread, but it was some of the greatest food I have ever eaten in my life that evening. And
you met the president.
I met the president, and in order for me to do this thing, I was given the Filipino formal shirt, which is a beautiful shirt. And that's, everybody at this reception was formal. And that's what made the reporters, there were 8 or 10 of us in this group on that flight. I remember Mel Wax was there and some other people. The
wow.
Funny story with Mel Wax, after the stay in Manila, we flew to Hong Kong, and it was Guy Fawkes Day, which is a big day for the British.
Right.
We got some firecrackers, dropped them out the window of the 10th story of the hotel we were in. I understand it caused a ruckus with the cops later. They thought there was pistol shots. At the time, firecrackers were illegal in Hong Kong. Certainly on Guy Fawkes Day, it was illegal. A wonderful trip. And at one of the receptions was held for the press group in Hong Kong. We were about 8 or 10 blocks from the hotel where we were staying. And after dinner, Mel Wax and I, and the party broke up into small groups. There were 2s and 3s. Wax and I walked back to the hotel together, talking about a lot of stuff and observing and thoroughly enjoying the walk back to the hotel. The next morning, the guys were all comparing how many times they had been propositioned on the walk back to the hotel. I think the record holder said he had been hit 5 times by girls wanting to give him a good time. Mel Wax and I were very dejected. What was wrong with us? We hadn't seen one single approach.
That's pretty funny. So talk about that, the Pan Am trip to Europe.
That trip was the donkey trip.
Right.
When I came back from covering the Sixth Fleet in the Mediterranean, Joanna opened the front door to our home on Flint Street. Her first words weren't welcome home. She said, "We're going to Europe on a donkey cart, and you can come along if you like." She had had this idea of being on a donkey cart and going from somewhere in Europe on it. Her idea, totally. And the trip developed. I worked out a deal with Pan Am to get us over there. And again, that the air was taken care of. We flew we finally ended up in Algeciras in Spain. That was where we were going to get the donkey and the donkey cart. And a lot of negotiations with some of the help at the hotel. They found me a donkey and a donkey cart.
Did they think you were crazy?
Of course. They found me a donkey and a donkey cart, and the price was $80. Suddenly, we owned a donkey and a donkey cart. We had already psyched out that the route we were going to take was between Algeciras and Malaga, Torremolinos, along the Costa del Sol, Spain. And this was a distance of about 110 kilometers.
And how long were you thinking it would last?
I had no idea of how long it would last. Or we were going to set out. We had a donkey. We had a donkey cart. We had all our belongings. We had a 5-gallon jug of wine. I had a stash of brandy, good Spanish brandy. And we had 2 kids who were excited as can be. We set off from the hotel with great fanfare, people cheering. And we got as far as about 1.5 miles just outside the bull ring when a wheel came off. Fortunately, there was a cart repair shop in the bull ring. He had a wheel. I can't remember how this all came about. It's just phenomenal. Because when you think of being in a strange country with a limited command of the language, out in the sticks with two children aged 7 and 5, all your belongings on a donkey cart with one wheel hanging on the side. Well, we got the wheel fixed, or I got a replacement wheel, and we were off and running again. We had chosen this route because it looked to me to be the levelest stretch of land we could go, and I wouldn't have to be concerned about uphill, downhill. Well, everything looks flat on the map when you're looking at it. Anyhow, there were rises and falls, and that first day out, we went up and down and up and down, not very steep, but enough to be a real problem. I ended up, every time we were going downhill, behind the cart, holding it back physically to keep it from riding up on Carmela, our charming donkey, who was 80 years old when we sold her and 8 years old when I bought her. I think it was 6 and 60. Anyhow, at our first stop in a little, you can't even call it a village, there was a bar with a couple of rooms on top of it, and a place that took animals in, an animal hostel, where we parked Carmela, and we slept upstairs in the bar on straw beds.
I remember that.
And I sat in the bar that night drinking a lot of brandy and talking to the locals as best I could about the problem, and I learned the word for brake, freno. There's one of these guys there. I was buying drinks, so everybody was being real happy to talk to me. One of the guys there said, "You need a brake, and I know just the kind of brake you need, and it'll work." I said, "How long is it going to take you to put it on?" "Maybe an hour or so." I said, "Okay, when can you do it?" He said, "I'll have it on for you by 7 o'clock tomorrow morning."
Good Lord.
And he rigged up a pulley and a branch system whereby if you tugged a rope, the branch rubbed against the two wheels and actually was a brake on the wheels. And by the time we ended this journey, the wheels had cut halfway through into this branch.
Wow.
But it worked throughout the trip. So we were off and running again. Or we were off and riding again. The trip took a lot longer than we had figured. Carmela the donkey stated that every small little, what do you call a place that has two houses, a bar, that's the kind of villages we stayed at, but they all had places for animals. Carmela invariably slept with a family in a hut with a dirt floor, big hut, where pigs, chickens, goats, Carmela joined them. I think I paid the equivalent of 10 cents a night, Carmela's accommodations, which included dinner.
Wow.
And we just proceeded on from there. It was a wonderful trip. There were great experiences. I can still remember the cars that flashed by us on the highway going the other way. Gaga, what is this? You kids had a wonderful time. You enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yes, we did.
And we ended up Malaga, or Torremolinos. It was raining. I was riding on top of the donkey cart. Everything was pleasant, with a bottle of brandy in my hand, taking swigs of it. yelling, "They can't get you for drunken donkey cart driving," in English. Nobody understood what I was saying. And whereupon I slipped and fell off the cart and hit the wheel on the way down, cracked a couple of ribs. That put me out of service. We never did get to Malaga. I sold the donkey and the donkey cart. I think I got $25 for a 60-year-old donkey and a cart with a lousy brake.
But it was one more brake than it had when you set off. So from there, you got healed up, right? Somebody must have taken care of you.
A doctor came out to the hotel. They taped me up, and it's just a matter of time.
Did he ask you how you broke your ribs?
I don't think we talked about it much.
Crazy American. From there, onward to Seville?
Onward to Seville. I had arranged before the trip to see if we couldn't get a nanny for you and Stephanie. I started out with corresponding with the head of the tourism department in Seville. This is where we thought we'd pick, after the, we didn't want to take a nanny on the donkey cart. So we figured we'd pick one up in Seville and have her travel with us from that point till departure, whatever departure meant. I contacted the head of the tourism office in Seville, and he wrote back, "I have just the woman for you." And I thought, that's wonderful. What tremendous cooperation. We got to Seville, and he presented us with his wife, who was a Belgian, who wanted to get back to Brussels, and he was delighted to have her go see her family in Brussels. And they didn't get along too sharp. And so he had arranged with her to go with us. We would go on into France, and she could go home to Brussels. Well, okay. We took off, and that was the introduction of you young girls to Madame. Mm. That's a long story that includes her taking you off on a side trip to a zoo or something without telling us. In Valencia, we had the cops, called the cops to try to find out where this woman was who had kidnapped our kids, which was all straightened out. She had you out all day. Lovely trip for you guys, but we were going crazy trying to figure out where you were. We were in Valencia. We knew everybody there, of course. We went to... I skipped the Seville fair. You all got decked up in
your
flamenco outfits. After Valencia, we went on up to Barcelona. And we celebrated Stephanie's 7th birthday.
With the Lancasters.
With the Lancasters.
Oh. What were they doing in Barcelona?
He was the head of the American school in Barcelona. And they had been living there some time. We had corresponded, and we just went to see them. But the trip after Barcelona included going to Mallorca. And all the while, Madame is still with us. And in Mallorca, I rented a car. And I can't remember what the circumstances were. A little VW, I recall, or the Spanish version of the Fiat.
Was it a Simca?
Seat.
Oh.
Which is a Fiat made in Spain. We were, all of us, on a ride in the countryside. And I don't know what the distraction was, but there was no other car involved. The distraction caused me to swerve the car badly. I turned it over. It ended up on its side. We all climbed out. Nobody was hurt. I wasn't going very fast. We all climbed out, and Madame was the only one who was complaining about being hurt. Police came, report filed. I waited to hear. I was going to hear that evening from the car rental company. I had dinner that evening with Mildred Burton, the mother of the Burton, of San Francisco's famous Burtons, Phil, John, Bob, two of them who were in Congress. One is still a major domo in the Democratic Party in California. Phil almost became Speaker of the House. Came as close as you could get. Pelosi finally got that seat. That was the seat that Phil worked so hard for. Anyhow, Mildred Burton, charming dinner with her that evening. Waited to hear from the car rental company. Waited to hear from the car rental company. We had to leave the next day. We left the next day. I didn't hear from the car rental company. I still don't know what the end result of that whole thing was. Don't remember. Those are the days before credit cards. There was no way for them to collect the money, if there was money to be collected.
Wow. So you never heard from them, and you just left the car where it was? And they
Well, the police...
They took it away.
It was all handled correctly, according to law.
And that's that. And you just left a busted up car. That's okay. Cool.
I left the scene of the crime.
There was no crime. Okay, so from there, where did we go?
Well, eventually...
Andorra.
We ended up in Nice.
Oh, yeah.
And the big hassle with Madame... We had to go back to Barcelona to be able to go on further with the journey. And from Barcelona, we went to Andorra, which is the tiny little principality in the Pyrenees. And we were there for several days. And then from Andorra, we went into southern France. I remember doing an interview with Madame Millot. There's a perfume, Crepe de Chine, and there's an area outside of Nice, outside of, Ez, where a lot of the flower growing takes place for the essences, perfume essence. And I learned the secret of perfume from Madame Millot. If you want to keep your perfume fresh, you got to keep air away from it. And the way you do that is by putting little pebbles. And as you use the perfume, you keep refilling the bottle with pebbles. And you keep it at a constant temperature. It'll stay fresh for you for a long time.
Wow.
It was somewhere along in here that we were releasing Madame. There was the big misunderstanding. Well, going back to the accident, she complained that she had neck pain, for which she solved all medical problems with suppositories. And so we bought her suppositories, and that took care of her neck pain. But there wasn't anything more about that. But a big brouhaha about her departure. She was under the understanding that I was going to pay for her to get back to Brussels.
Oh.
And that had never been discussed. So we departed on not very friendly terms. How she settled her problems, I don't know. We never had words after that.
I'm surprised that you didn't arrange that with the husband who packed her off with you.
He knew that at some point in France, we were going to, that would be the end. And we lived up to the bargain, except we were in southern France, not northern France. And the whole issue of how she would get to Brussels was never discussed.
That just seems bizarre that he wouldn't, that the two of them wouldn't have talked about that before.
Well, he told her I'd take care of it.
Oh.
And that was her misunderstanding.
Or somebody just assumed. Wow. So then we ended up in Nice.
We ended up in Nice, and at that point in the trip, I had really run out of money. I freeloaded a hotel room at the Ritz Hotel in Nice.
How'd you manage
which
that?
Was the swankiest hotel in Nice.
How did you do that?
Well, through public relations people and friends of friends. And I was an important reporter that they were being nice to. They thought I was an important reporter. Anyhow, they were being nice to us. But we were so flat broke, I spent the last money we had on train tickets to get us back to Paris for the flight home. I distinctly remember there was just enough money for us to eat by going to a little grocery store 2 blocks from the hotel, where I bought cheeses and local bread, and we sat in our hotel room eating whatever food I could afford to buy before we caught the train. Nobody starved. It wasn't one of those situations. But we had, there was no way we could eat at the hotel and or at any restaurant. So we ate inside our room. And enjoyed it thoroughly.
I bet. It must have been pretty nice.
We got back to Paris and flew home.
Wow.
This concludes Chapter 10.